Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Kick on your smart speakers. Mike Golic Jr. here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I say Mike Golic Jr. for now because we're getting ready for our new normal on this show. We got to make some adjustments right now because it is officially training camp season for our own Jhené Egwumike. The LA Sparks are back in action. It's been so interesting for me in the last few days. And Jhené is going to be with us starting in the 5 o'clock hour, but she's got to transition because she is out there right now in the lab with her team. And I've seen the LA Sparks Twitter accounts, various social accounts, putting out all of these tidbits from Sparks training camp. And it's like giving me the feels because that is a back-to-school feeling for every athlete. Those first couple of days back in training camp were especially in the middle of a pandemic. Haven't seen your teammates in a while. Haven't been around the whole coaching staff together in a while. So we wish Jhené well. She is starting on a journey that, quite frankly, sounds great to me now that I don't have to go through any of it physically. She'll be back with us next hour. She's going to give us Jhené's court, her insight and her running journal on being a professional athlete in the middle of a training camp in what is still a pandemic season in a lot of ways. So we're really looking forward to that with Jhené. We've got our mock draft rolling along in about a half hour. Picks 17 through 20 coming up today as we get closer and closer. Our mega mock draft here on Jhené Angola Jr., often imitated, never duplicated, taking you up to the start of the draft on Thursday. And that's where we begin the show because it is finally draft week. Mother of God, mercifully, it is draft week. Because I don't know about the rest of you guys. I promise, if you are looking up and going, man, I'm sick of talking about Mac Jones and the 49ers, I'm with you. We're all with you at this point. It has been a little over a month since that trade took place. The 49ers, the Dolphins, and the Eagles in a three-team trade that landed the Niners at third overall in the draft. And it has created nothing but chaos ever since. And I'm sick of it. I can't wait for it to be done. Like, we have overdone and overboiled this thing on the quarterback front so much because they did that. And guys, I want to read you this. Because if you thought we weren't sick enough of all of this yet, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and the 49ers are out here playing with our emotions. These people are sick. They're a toxic ex. They will not stop at any cost. The 49ers had a press conference today for their team, and I saw various reporters tweeting out some of the things that were coming up, including our own Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, who tweeted this. The San Francisco 49ers GM John Lynch said the 49ers have attended 176 college games and practices, conducted 400 Zoom emails, interviewed 600 players, and attended 128 separate pro days to come to the decisions they will make later this week. First off, weirdest Seasons of Love remix of all time. But believe me, it gets weirder and it gets worse. Kyle Shanahan said that he and John Lynch are not paying attention to what draft experts and 49ers fans are saying the team should do on social media. Quote, it is irresponsible to let something like that affect your decision. They even claimed that there were 5 quarterbacks they felt comfortable with trading up to that third spot. And while they might have a favorite, they're comfortable with what they've learned. They feel like they've gotten better through this process of going through the pre-draft. And this one just takes the cake. Kyle Shanahan was asked if he can guarantee that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster Sunday. He said, quote, and this is a real-life quote from Kyle Shanahan, I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive on Sunday. Hoops Mans is this. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless here on Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. It's gotten entirely too out of hand with all this. I'll give you a perfect example. We're so inundated with takes on all of this because it seems like all information, all indication, and Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL reporter, is saying that the Niners are still unsure who they're going to take at that third pick. You've seen some places reporting that they are going to go with Mac Jones at that spot more than likely. It's felt like a foregone conclusion for a while. So now we're starting to talk about the fall. What happens if Justin Fields slips? And Keyshawn Johnson, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here on ESPN Radio, brought up this comparison for Justin Fields. Cam Newton.
I go back to the Cam Newton draft, and I think about Jake Locker, I think about Cam Newton and Blaine Gabbert. And I always say to myself, is simple as an instant evaluator to see these dudes. By far, it was not even going to be close. Cam Newton was the best player, has always been the best player. You think about who could potentially be that guy this year. It could potentially be Justin Fields, depending on where he goes and how much time and effort a coach is willing to put in. Coaches in the National Football League, some coaches are lazy. They want everything to be done, ready for them to just roll out. They don't want to put in the work to get the guy from A to Z. So it's important for Justin Fields to go to the right spot so he can learn.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys. And God love Keyshawn. We're at the point in the draft where I'm looking at that tape going, I don't really know if it makes sense, but I understand why we're here. Because we're searching for anything new about these guys at this point. Cam Newton was by far the best quarterback in that draft. He came off what might still be the best quarterback season in college football history, so there's not a ton of comparison there that I find overly apt, but get it how you live. We're all reaching for it at this point to try and make it happen. So that's why I want to invite you. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We've done it. We've churned through every possible scenario we can at three at this point. I'm sick of it. You're sick of it. We're still probably going to talk about it some, but 888-SAY-ESPN. We are taking any of your draft questions that don't have the code words Mac Jones or 49ers third pick in them. If you've got a question about anything else coming up, because I'm going to get to be part of our NFL draft coverage on ESPN Digital with Jason Fitz, Trevor Scales, Ashley Brewer, Field Yates, Matthew Berry. It's going to be a great time. So we've got it and we're ready. And we're willing to take the questions on anything, again, that doesn't have to do with Mac Jones or the 49ers. 888-729-3776. But why are we here is another question that we're probably all asking ourselves. Like, why does what we all see from the public side of things look so different and feel so different than what we're getting out of teams right now? Why are we seeing? No one's talked about the Jets and Zach Wilson. We're taking the Jets' word for something. Think about how crazy that is. In the year of our Lord 2021, the Jets have slotted Zach Wilson at 2, or most people have slotted Zach Wilson at 2 for the Jets, and we're just like, yeah, bet. That seems to make sense. Trusting anything in and around the Jets? I guess there's a first time for everything. Go down to 3. Mac Jones all of a sudden climbing his way up here. The 49ers moved heaven and earth to get to that spot. Why has it all changed so much? This is where it gets really interesting. Cameron Wolf and a number of our ESPN NFL writers put together an article today about scouting during the pandemic season. And one of the quotes that stuck out to me, I thought this was pretty compelling reminder of the differences we're dealing with this year. A scout from a 2020 playoff team said, "It's going to be a crazy-ass draft. Just watch. After the 12th pick, I feel like it's going to be the wild, wild west regarding who teams pick. I know scouts who have wildly different grades on players than I do, even more than normal." This is the big one. Less interaction, meaning less scouts getting together at pro days. You could only send two or three this year. Less being together at the combine means less groupthink and more surprises. If a team loves a player, they're going to jump the gun to get him. That's what we've seen with the 49ers here. That's what's come up. And that's going to be the difference. I think you've seen it in this article. It's a great job. Again, if you haven't seen it, it's on ESPN.com. Check it out. You've got some people I appreciate putting a name to it. Eric DaCosta, the GM for the Baltimore Ravens, said, "I don't know how many times we've got a great analytics department, great men and women that we have leaned into to help us bridge the gap. Smart teams are going to find solutions. Smart teams have been preparing for this since last year. This has all been in motion. This has all been going to work. And now you're going to see, and we won't know for 2 or 3 years, I get it, how to grade this exactly. But I think you're seeing the best teams, the cream of the crop, already find their way into creative solutions for the problem that it's posed you here." So again, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Any draft question you've got, outside of Mac Jones and that third overall pick that we've beaten into the ground. By the way, Cameron Wolf will join us later on in the show to make the pick on behalf of the Dolphins as we get to picks 17 through 20. Coming up next, we'll get to your calls on the draft and we'll revisit Brooklyn. Kevin Durant reminding everybody who the baddest team on the block is. Compelling numbers that show us the Nets may be all right and ready to embarrass us after all. Next here, Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We'll be right back.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, L. Duncan, Kevin DeGonti. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins Thursday, 7 Eastern, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Coverage of our 2021 Janae and Golic Jr. mock draft, often imitated, never duplicated, you'll never hear this in any other place in this radio lineup, rolls along in about 10 minutes. We have the Raiders and the Dolphins on the clock at 17 and 18. Jason Fitz and Cameron Wolf are going to join us respectively. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. Janae Agumake going to be joining us in the next hour. Get ready. It's training camp time for the LA Sparks right now. Get your popcorn ready. Janae is going to be back here and probably really tired. So we'll see how the first day of practice went for him. Very exciting. We'll get to check in with her. We're also going to get to some of your calls here because I've said we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. We've done the 49ers pick at three. We've done why Mac Jones, why not Justin Fields, all these things. They have beaten me into submission. I get it. Even if I disagree with it, it seems like it could happen, or maybe it won't. At this point, I'm tired of talking about it. So 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Any draft question that you've got that doesn't involve the third pick or Mac Jones, because we're done with those. We will also get to what's coming up with Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets made his return this weekend against the Suns and sent a pretty compelling message. But let's head to the Goodyear Hotline with Dylan in Texas. Dylan, you're on Janae and Golic Jr. What's your draft question?
Hey, Bob, I need to know what the Titans are going to do at 22. We released Dennis Kelly, which was a huge deal for us. We've lost three tackles in a matter of, I think, two off seasons. We also need to work on our secondary. That's why I would love to see, the gentleman from South Carolina.
J.C. Horn.
But then again, our pass rush is terrible also. So where are we going at 22?
Yeah, we appreciate the call. So I actually did a mock draft exercise the other day with Trevor Sikkema and the guys over at the Draft Network. And what I landed on at 22 was Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. If he were somehow to fall there, and I think you're going to see more tackles coming off the board early, because in the top flight, probably 7, 8, maybe that range of them, much better than what you're going to get further and further down the board. Tevin Jenkins played right tackle at Oklahoma State, so you could stick him opposite of Taylor Lewan when he's back and healthy. And attitude-wise, fits what Tennessee does there. Mauler, mean streak guy, all the above that could be a good fit in a Titans uniform. Let's go to Ryan in Pennsylvania. Ryan, you're on Janae and Golic Jr. What's your draft question?
Hey, Mike, it's Ryan. Hey, I just wanted to call in and see what you thought of realistic chances were for the Steelers actually nailing Najee Harris out of Alabama, since we need a running back, since we got rid of Connor.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. So this I want to say this first and foremost. I love Najee Harris, my favorite running back in the draft, and that was before he started hurdling guys against Notre Dame in the college football playoff. A great set of hands, unbelievably versatile, and a guy that certainly not going to blow you away with speed, but so quick in the spaces that it matters. That being said, I do not think the Steelers should take him in the first round. You have got an offensive line that just turned over a lot of what you've been used to being there. I think it's a much more pressing pick at that spot. I think we know the value of running backs in this range. I love Travis Etienne, and I love Najee Harris. If I'm a team, I don't think I'd be comfortable picking either of them in the first round because of the value we tend to get from running back. So we will get to plenty more of your calls, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Join host Nate Burleson and guest Justin Fields, Najee Harris, and Jamar Chase in the new Progressive YouTube series, Up All Night. Watch every episode exclusively on youtube.com/progressive. But this weekend, we also had in the NBA Kevin Durant returning to the Brooklyn Nets, back in the lineup, healthy, against the Phoenix Suns. So you walk right in, and Kevin Durant is walking off the bench against a playoff team, a Suns team that we've said has gone from surprise to team that, all right, we need to look up and take seriously as championship consideration for this NBA season. What we got was 33 points off the bench from Kevin Durant, which is hilarious. At this point, I think he is qualified coming off the bench because he's been banged up for so many games that he's actually close to leading the NBA in points per game from a player coming off the bench. Now, the qualifications are having to do that for like three games, so take it for what it's worth. But the point being, he looked good, and Steve Nash, the Brooklyn Nets head coach, was being modest about it after the game, as usual.
You know, tonight it was good. Lots to build on, lots of positives. But for me, it's never this is where we are. It's where are we going? And so this is an indicator of what we can do well and where we can improve and continue to chip away and get better. So that I don't ever really look at it as far as who we are, where we are. I look at it as where are we trying to get to and how can we build off of this, whether we win or lose, play well or bad, what was the lesson and what can we learn?
I wish we could fire off that coach speak sounder for the segment that we usually do around here where we try and decipher all the nothing burger words that guys like Steve Nash throw at us in this moment, because he's thinking the exact thing the rest of us are right now. This team could thoroughly embarrass us. We've said all along, are we worried about continuity? Are we worried about clutch time? I've said these things, but I've always said it with the caveat of, if any team is talented enough to make us look stupid, it's this Brooklyn Nets team. This Brooklyn Nets team just had their 12th double-digit comeback of the season. That's tied with Portland for the most in the NBA this year. Remember another team that used to do that? The Golden State Warriors, just toying with people, playing with their food, erasing leads whenever they felt like it. This Brooklyn Nets team is 24-8 versus teams over 500. I don't care what your record is against anybody else, because guess who you're going to see in the postseason when you are, in theory, closer to healthier than any other time you've been. And I've said, we can't guarantee James Harden, but we know what this team, especially offensively, looks like with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving out there. This is the 12th game this year with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving without James Harden. And while they're only 500 with these two on the court, we know that's been about as up and down as a seesaw. You couldn't count on necessarily the continuity helping in that spot either. The point is, when we look at this team, they represent the ability to go out here and destroy everything that we have loved or claim to love, a lot of people, about team sports. Well, you know, you got to go out there and win with defense. Nerds. Well, you know what? You need continuity in all these spots. You need guys to be around each other. Well, I mean, if you're not as good as Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. Well, you know, you need to build these teams, the air quotes, right way. Now we'll just decide we feel like coming to the team that we want to, and then we'll get our buddy James Harden to come along with it. Like, the Nets gave us that little reminder. We know, long way to go, a lot of really good teams involved. But even Kevin Durant after the game, when he was asked about this being a measuring stick game for them, he said, hell, it might be a measuring stick game for the Suns. All the talk about what we've done with expectations, and I think this team still, deep down in places they don't like to talk about at parties, knows they're the bully on the block. And if they want to go out there and keep acting like it, this could make for a very, very interesting and ugly postseason for some teams. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll get to more of your calls asking non-49ers and Mac Jones-related draft questions, but we also got to get to our mock coming up next. The Raiders and the Dolphins are on the clock. Let's see if we can make Jason Fitz cry next here after this word from Indeed. Now, if you need to hire people fast, Indeed can help you beat the clock with a powerful hiring tool like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job and Indeed will send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database right on the spot. They also have 135 skills tests for things like computer proficiency or customer service talent, so you can find the right candidates faster. Did you know 10 hires are made every minute on Indeed? It just goes to show that when you need people for work, Indeed works. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We make a mockery of the draft yet again here on Chenea Angola Jr. next on ESPN Radio.
Chenea Angola Jr., the podcast.
I can't wait to talk about baseball. It's not a thing that I expected to say in 2021, but June Lee is going to join us in about 10 minutes, our ESPN Major League Baseball writer, to talk about our Padres. We made a decision as a show, Chenea Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. here, Chenea Gwimike going to be back with us at 5. We made a decision to rock with the Padres for this Major League Baseball season because they're young and exciting and in California, good stadium food, Fernando Tatis Jr., and it has lived up to the hype. Specifically, the Padres and the Dodgers, maybe the best thing, the best single commodity baseball has right now. We'll talk to June about that in 10 minutes as we have something legitimately young and exciting for Major League Baseball fans. But it's also the NFL draft week. It's finally here. You can all be relieved with me. Thursday night, we get started. We get real picks. We get real life NFL draft picks. So instead of trying to predict, we can just react to the decision that your team has spent the last God knows how long trying to create. And just to give you an idea of what your team's been doing, I again will cite a tweet by our own Adam Schefter quoting John Lynch, the GM of the San Francisco 49ers, that they have attended 176 college games and practices, conducted 400 Zoom calls, interviewed 600 players, and attended 128 separate pro days to come to the decisions that they made this week. Basically saying, we worked really hard, so don't boo us on draft night. But before we get to draft night, we've got to get to our mock draft. Chinay Ngolick Jr.'s 2021 Mega Mock Draft, often imitated, never duplicated. Cliff, let's get started.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you ready for the draft?
The NFL draft is right around the corner. And instead of Chinay Ngolick Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Chinay Ngolick Jr. Mock Draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
We roll along, pick 17 and 18 now. We're almost there. We're taking you up till Thursday this week, and we've got the Raiders and the Dolphins on the board. So, Cliff, let me hear those chimes. Because for the 17th overall pick to the draft, we got to go to someone that we know and are near and dear to. You've heard him on this show. You hear him every day following us as a part of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio. You're also going to hear him with me on our digital draft coverage coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's Jason Fitz, diehard, lifelong Raiders fan, joining us now. Fitzy, the floor is yours for the 17th pick, my friend.
With the 17th overall pick in the Golden-Chinay mock draft. I want the whole experience here. My beloved Raiders are going offensive line Elijah Versa Tucker out of USC. I'm doing this mostly because, Mike, I just want you to be happy with me that I took an offensive lineman.
Well, Fitz, I appreciate that. You got the name of our show wrong in the process, so I'm a little weirded out by that. But, Fitz, you and I actually talked about this off-air. You were texting me wondering about this pick and debating between offensive line or defense, specifically that secondary. So how big a concern is that, what you saw defensively from the Raiders in 2020 heading into this draft?
So if there's anything that you can learn through the process of the Raiders draft is that they draft for need every year. They needed a left tackle when they took Colton Miller. They needed a wide receiver taking Henry Ruggs III. They do this every year. We were together when they needed defensive linemen. They needed pass rush. They took Clee Ferrell, right? So you can question the people that they picked along the way, but they picked for need. And the Raiders have two desperate needs at this point as a team. One is a free safety, and the other, frankly, is a left tackle. But the best left tackles are gone. So what they can do with Versa Tucker is put him inside a guard, which will then allow them to take Denzel Good, who was a swing guy for him last year, and move Good out to tackle and buys them a year to do it. The Raiders will address a need. So to me, it's either offensive lineman or safety. So the question becomes, when you're picking at 17 and then your next pick is until 48, do you burn that pick at 17 on somebody on a safety, for example, and go offensive lineman in the second round? Or do you take a chance that somebody like Richie Grant, the safety out of UCF, is available in the second round? So with Versa Tucker being as good as he is, I feel good about this. But Mike, you're right. Like, this is going to be for the Raiders a question about, are they happier with the fourth best lineman or the best safety in this draft picking at 17?
I can say Trevon Moehrig out of TCU, largely viewed as that top safety. Fitzy, we appreciate the time, buddy. I'll be seeing way too much of you this week, so get out of here.
Oh, so many hugs are coming. So many!
My God, Jason Fitz on behalf of the Raiders. All right, it's time for pick number 18. The Miami Dolphins are on the clock yet again. This is their pick now. We know their first pick was a part of the trade with Houston back in the day. And so to help us out with this, Cliff, hit the chimes. We head back to the Goodyear Hotline, where our ESPN Dolphins reporter Cameron Wolf joins us now. And Cameron, the 18th overall pick in the draft, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right, let's do it. With the 18th pick in the Chinay Ngolick Jr. mock draft, the Miami Dolphins select Kwity Paye, edge rusher, Michigan.
All right, so we get now finally edge rushers coming off the board. Cameron, for people looking at this edge class, seeing names like Jalen Phillips, Azeez Ojulari, all these ones from known, a little more known commodities last season, what separates Kwity Paye in your mind and in the minds of a lot of people evaluating this draft?
Yeah, it's interesting because Kwity Paye didn't have as much production as your Jalen Phillips or Azeez Ojulari, but people, you know, NFL teams like what they can mold, and he's super athletic. He's got the power. He's got a really strong floor as a good run defender, and people think they can mold him in maybe a year or two to be the best pass rusher in this class. So it's sort of a pick-your-flavor pass rush group. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see any of the top three or four go in different orders, but Paye fits what the Dolphins want to do as far as versatility. a guy who can play some 4-3 DM, maybe do some 3-4 outside linebacker if you need to, and play both sides of the football field as far as defending the run and getting after the quarterback.
I think versatile pieces in Brian Flores' defense are always really enticing. Cam, we appreciate the time and the insight. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Appreciate you, man.
All right, so there we go. Elijah Vera Tucker and Kwity Paye off the board. How about Kwity Paye, a 250-pound member of a state championship 4x100 relay and won the state championship in the long jump as a junior? Now, it was in Rhode Island, so you can say what competition, but you turn on the tape and you see a freak athlete that he's right with a lot of upsides. Not a ton of production, but as Field Yates, our ESPN NFL insider and former scout, says, we draft traits, not production. And Kwity Paye out of Michigan going to give you a lot of those traits. All right, that's 17 and 18. Coming up in about an hour, we've got the Washington football team and the Chicago Bears picking at 19 and 20 as our mock draft rolls along. But coming up next, do we now have the best rivalry in sports calling its home in Major League Baseball? We'll visit one of the more entertaining series we might see this entire season next, but we'll do it after this word from Angie. Now, there's a lot of pride that comes with having your own home. It's where you entertain, it's your biggest investment, and it's a place that represents you, which is why my front porch and lawn are incredible. It's the smile of your house. That being said, you only get there because it's a lot of work. That's where Angie steps in. It takes all the maintenance, repairs, and projects that your home needs and puts the solution right in the palm of your hand. You can connect with pros, see upfront pricing. Hell, you can even book and pay in seconds all right through the app. You're already on your phone all day. I got my screen time report the other day. It's devastating. Use it for good. Use it for Angie. This is your home handled. This is Angie. Download the Angie app today. Back after this with June Lee on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Seager rolls it over, and that'll do it. A ground ball to Tatis, steps on second. The Padres rally from 7-1 down and shock the Dodgers 8-7.
Last night was a movie in Major League Baseball, on a night where we handed out hardware at a kind of awkward and quiet Oscars. The Padres and the Dodgers provided plenty of fireworks. Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. here. Jhené Egbuemeke, fresh off practice, is going to join us in about 10 minutes here. We'll have plenty to break down because, like we mentioned, we had the Oscars last night. It kind of came and went pretty quietly there. Some big winners there. Nomadland, Judas and the Black Messiah got some love. But I'd be remiss on the movie front if we didn't take time to stop and celebrate that 2 years ago today, Avengers Endgame premiered in theaters. And I wept because of the word cheeseburgers, like a lot of other people in a very quiet theater in Nashville. We had about, oh God, I could watch the reaction video from Avengers Assemble for the end of time, and I'll get chills and I'll tear up every single time. It's just how I'm going to be wired. That is my lot in life. I am inevitable when it comes to crying when Peter Parker comes flying through that circle. So an incredible day around here. We'll continue to celebrate, but we also want to celebrate what we saw in Major League Baseball last night, and really this season so far, from the Dodgers and the Padres. And it goes to not only what we've seen on the field, but off the field. Listen to Trevor Bauer, the Dodgers pitcher, talking about so much of the celebration we've seen. Usually a hot-button issue, but a bit of a different tune right now.
If you give up a homer, a guy should celebrate it. You know, it's hard to hit in the big leagues. So I'm all for it, and I think it's important that, you know, the game moves in that direction, and we stop throwing at people because they celebrated having some success on the field.
We welcome in June Lee on the Goodyear Hotline right now, our ESPN writer. And June, this was kind of the tone coming off the entire weekend. Baseball seemed very young and fun through the last seven games with the Dodgers and the Padres. What was your biggest takeaway from the series this weekend and really just the last seven games we've seen from these two teams overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're pretty much spot on. I feel like this weekend was kind of it felt like a paradigm shift almost, similar to Thanos snapping, where you kind of felt like this new generation kind of ushering in this new set of rules as to what is acceptable in the sport. I mean, Trevor Bauer said it there, and you saw with Fernando Tatis and the way he was celebrating his absurd weekend where he hit five homers over the course of a couple of games. You saw this kind of emotion brewing between the two teams, and you saw this you know, the Dodgers and the Padres aren't this like historic rivalry in the way that the Red Sox and Yankees are. But there's clearly this emotional investment that's apparent on both sides. I mean, the Dodgers signed Trevor Bauer to an enormous contract this offseason after the Padres went out and got Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. I mean, the fact that these two teams are invested in what each other is doing off the field and building their rosters, and then you're seeing the emotion on the field where, you know, guys are celebrating, guys are, you know, barking, the bench is cleared previously. It feels like a new generation of baseball kind of ushering its way in a really fun and loud way.
It has been, and the product has matched it. 10 ties, 5 lead changes, a couple of almost brawls, Twitter back and forth. It's like, this series had a little bit of everything, June, but you mentioned Fernando Tatis Jr., an unbelievable series, 5 homers in the weekend, but I have to ask you the all-important question, because there were a lot of people that saw him looking down, thought that he might have been trying to go after some signs at the plate before going yard on Trevor Bauer. So, in your mind, was he peeking? Was he looking?
I don't think he was. I mean, like, it can kind of go either way. I feel like this is kind of similar to, like, trying to, like, crack some sort of, like, Easter egg thing in a movie. Like, if you look at the video or the pictures or the screenshots one way, it kind of looks like it, but I'm not really convinced. And at the end of the day, like, Fernando Tatis Jr. is still Fernando Tatis Jr. He's still one of the best young hitters of the sport, and it's not like hitting that homer in that situation was an anomaly.
No, certainly something that Padres fans can all get very used to and are very used to at this point. Jhené Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to our ESPN writer, June Lee, on the Goodyear Hotline. June, one of the other things I thought was really interesting that popped up in this game that we saw go to extra innings, the Padres ultimately get that 8-7 win, was one of those rules that baseball fans had loudly complained against. A runner starting at second when we got laid into extras. We saw Fernando Tatis Jr. as the runner that started at second, and June, from where I'm sitting, it provided exactly what Major League Baseball was looking for. It created excitement. We had a double steal. It got the game moving along. Do you think baseball fans are starting to realize that maybe, like an iPhone update, this was something that was going to work out just fine?
I think the rule change is still polarizing. I think for obvious reasons, you know, there's so many traditionists, especially on Twitter, who are very, very loud about their opinion. I think that the rule does provide excitement. I'm not sure it speeds up the game because you have relievers working really slow with a runner on second immediately to start the inning. But I do think that it does provide this level of tension and excitement right out of the gate. You're seeing these pressure situations. The one downside is that you can win a game without getting a hit. Like you can sacrifice bunt and you can sacrifice and you win the game. I think that's kind of the one downside to it. But from my vantage point personally, I think it's adding exactly what you want in that. You know, we're not potentially working into 16 inning extra inning games, and this might be my East Coast bias coming out, but like it also helps me go to bed at a reasonable hour as well.
Hey, listen, June, you know what? Who among us has not complained about some sort of East Coast late start on games? I am fully with you on that, brother. Everyone, follow him at June Lee. You can read him on ESPN.com. Does a great job there. June, we appreciate the time, buddy. We'll be talking to you soon, man. Baseball's had a hot start to the season.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You can also catch June on digitally Baseball Tonight, those live streams before all the games we've seen. I'm telling you, we wavered a little bit, and I say we, I mean Jhené, who's going to join us here in a couple minutes, when that Tatis shoulder started to flare up some. We have been rewarded handsomely right now. I don't care if you call it a rivalry. I don't care if you think they're bigger rivals, the Los Angeles Dodgers with the folks in San Francisco. This has teeth. This has bite.
How dare you, Mike Golic Jr.? You think I'm not listening? I'm back and I'm here. You were trying to pin it on me? Ha! Another 2 hours, I'm coming at your neck.
All right, well, coming up next, I'm going to try and deal with a now upset Jhené Egbunike fresh off practice and see if I can get myself out of the doghouse before we get to 6 o'clock. That's next here, Jhené Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Jhené Engolik Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.